we start today's episode, just to let you know, you can now nominate for the 2025 Northern Power Women Awards to be in with a chance of celebrating with changemakers, trailblazers and advocates on the 6th of March 2025. Nominate now at wearepower.net.
Power Women Podcast. For your career and your life, no matter what business you're in.
Hello and welcome to the Northern Power Women Podcast, a podcast that I absolutely adore hosting every week, where I get to chat to some of the most inspiring personal and professional role models out there doing fantastic things. And I always want and hope that we can pass some of those advice, top tips and hacks on to you, whatever it may be, to help you through your life, your career, no matter what journey you're on right now. So I am delighted this week to have Sarah Perris, who is the managing partner at Perris Meyer, join us on the Northern Power Women podcast. Sarah has the widest story and the most fantastic biography. I see her bobbing all over LinkedIn doing fantastic things. And when I asked her to come on the podcast and then asked for that bio, I was like, oh my goodness, how do we make this not into a box set, you know, sort of from your growing up differences and working across the whole of the world, it feels like, the many charity roles that you've got and your overwhelming passion for sport, in particular, women's rugby. We have got such a lot to unpack in the next 20 minutes. Sarah, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you very much. It's an absolute honour and pleasure to be with you this morning. I can't tell you, I was so chuffed when I saw your message on LinkedIn. I thought, oh my God, that's wonderful. So yes, I'm delighted.
Oh, and honestly, it's brilliant, because I think there's always something about listening to people. Everyone has a different story. Everyone has a different pathway. And I think for anyone listening out there who's either lost, stuck, thriving, wherever you may be, I think there's always something that we always like to pass on. And so, you know, you worked in the motor industry, haven't you, for a very tough industry for over a decade. Talk to me about what was tough. Was it tough with a capital T?
Yeah, it really was, because I'm now in my early 60s, and when I started in my early 20s, I was just assumed, whatever role I was in, that I was somebody's secretary. If I was phoning up to find out where a meeting room was, oh, whose secretary are you? Go and get the coffee if I was in a meeting room. And I mean, I could tell you so many stories. We could spend 15 minutes just on that. But let me tell you one of the most horrendous. When I was offered the role as Worldwide Communications Director for Rolls-Royce and Bentley Motor Cars, as it was then, Bentley Motors as it is now, it had recently been acquired by the Volkswagen Group. So it was great. I was so excited. I'm a real car nut. I've been working for Ford for 10 years around the world, and this was a real challenge to take a brand, to take the Bentley brand that was really in a lot of trouble and make something of it. So it was a great opportunity. So yes, I was very excited. I put my house on the market, found a house up here, ready to go, ready to move up. And then I had a phone call to say, would I become the chief executive, chief operating officer, chief executive and chair of the Volkswagen Motor Group, wanted to interview me. Oh, sorry, really? Why? I was such a minion in comparison. You know, I was nothing. I was so unimportant. So anyway, I was okay, all right, you want to talk to me, off we went. And got to Germany, got to the head office, went up in the lift, went across the corridor to another lift where there was a guard with a gun, went up to the boardroom floor, went into the boardroom, and I'm thinking, this is so surreal. This is just so weird. Anyway, he, of course, kept me waiting nearly an hour. And two other members of the board came in, one of whom didn't speak any English. And then he eventually came in and sat and started asking me questions. And I was warned about him. I must admit that he had piercing blue eyes, and he would use them to stare and say nothing. And he was asking me lots of questions. And he said, Sarah, I understand you have twin daughters and they are 2 years old. I mean, yes, Ellen. Do you not think that makes you a bad mother? And I was just like, you can imagine, I was ready to go absolutely vertical. I thought, what planet are we on here? What planet are we on? And I won't bore you with the details, but suffice to say that when he said, do you have any questions for me? I got one in that was incredibly embarrassing for him, and I walked out thinking justice was done. But quite extraordinary. And so yes, the automotive industry had an awful lot of challenges. And one of the things, one of the reasons I do a huge amount of mentoring now is that in those days it wasn't even a thing. It probably wasn't even in the dictionary, to be honest. And I would have benefited so much by having somebody who'd been through that, who could guide me, who could help me, who could say, that's a battle worth fighting. That one, just leave it. Lots and lots of interesting, amazing stories. And I mean, I had a great time, but I did have two young children. I don't know if it was the job, but not long after I started the job, I ended up getting divorced. So I was a single parent in a very big role. And there came a time where I thought, can't do this anymore. So I was offered redundancy. I thought, yes, great, took it. And that was a one and only time I've had with my daughters. Actually, there were two, but this one, where they did that twin thing. And I sat down with them and I said, right, mummy's got an opportunity. We're going to leave here. I can go and get another big job and we can have the house and the holidays and the cars, or we can get rid of all of it and buy a really small house somewhere. And I can't promise you there'll be any holidays or anything, but I will take you to school in the morning and I will pick you up from school in the afternoon, which I hadn't done for their whole lives. They would have been four by this time, six by then. I said, go away and talk to each other and then we'll have another discussion. They stopped. They looked at each other, turned to me and said, Mummy, we want you. End of discussion. So, yes, I didn't go into another corporate role.
And just out of interest, before we kind of unpack some of that conversation there, what was the second twin moment? You talked about there being, they did it twice, the twin thing.
Actually, the other one was an odd one, actually. This was when they were very small. They would have been two. They could talk about two. And they were in very different parts of the house. And we had quite a big house in those days. This is when we were a whole family. And I heard one of them scream, who was down one end of the house. The other one was up downstairs. The other one was upstairs with me. She had a hand to her head and said, oh, my head. And the other one had hit her head.
Wow. Wow. And we'll come back to your girls in a minute, because they've got, you know, they're very much in the world of sport and in different ways. But we'll come back to that because I know sport is really important to you. But what was the superpowers that you honed to overcome some of the challenges that you had in that, I suppose, that very male-dominated industry? You know, the interview situation that you had, going through divorce, you know, deciding to sort of take this different. What would you say that superpower that you brought to the fore?
I guess two things. Learning when to zip it, when because my head, you know, there's a million things just wanting to come from my head straight out my mouth, and learning very early on when is the right time to say something and when is not. I also learned how to use my eyes to say a lot more than my mouth could say, and to make it very clear to somebody when what they were saying was absolutely inappropriate or wrong. When I was not happy. So yes, everybody who knows you will tell you, they can tell. They can read me like a book. It's all there. It's all in my face. But it actually was a real advantage when I was in that industry, because people can repeat back to you things you have said. Not so much so with the looks you've given them.
Within sort of the roles that you've had, in particular the automotive, I can't imagine there was many women at very senior levels at that time. Did you see change during that time or not?
To be honest, no. No, not in the automotive industry while I was there. The senior people were always HR, PR, communications and HR. There really weren't anymore. But actually now in my running my own business, which I've been doing with Marion for nearly 20 years now, we do a lot of work in the automotive industry, and it is changing. It is definitely changing. There are far more engineers coming through the system and designers coming through the system who are nearly there.
And you talk about that women don't quite, and not stereotypical every woman, but, you know, don't always really realise their own potential or don't see it. I have a million WhatsApp groups and I see it every day when somebody puts a role in or an opportunity, I almost see, or a media opportunity, you see people almost like lean out sometimes because they think that imposter syndrome you talked about earlier. You know, is that one of the reasons why you got involved in Women on Boards, to try and help and support that whole kind of unleashing the power of our fantastic board ready women who just don't realize it?
Well, it's two things, actually. It's one, because boards benefit when they have women on them, so it's to the benefit of the board, and I could see that through my career. But also it is to encourage women. You are needed out there. You have the skills. Sometimes they just need a little nudge. Sometimes they just need a short conversation with someone like me or the many other women that are out there supporting women to say, okay, well, tell me about yourself. Okay, so what? You've done that and you've done that. Really? Wow. And okay, so let's just have a look at this job role and now tell me why you're not the right person for this. And it's a lot of women do that. Oh, no. They've listed all these things and I've only got 8 of them. Well, I promise you, the guy who's only got 2 of them will go for the job. And it is so important to the benefit of younger women coming through, to the girls who are still at school, to the girls who haven't even been born yet, that we go out there and we're brave and we say, okay, it's a big jump. I've got to take a big breath, but just do it. And people like me are out here to help you. People who've been through it, people who are a lot older, we're here to help you with to give you the confidence to go out there and apply for those board roles, because they need you. And the world needs more women on boards. There's absolutely no question about it.
And it strikes me as looking at your biography that you are a serial either board advisor or chair or vice chair, from Women in Sport to Sail Sharks to Motherwell Cheshire, Twins Trust, Siphon Trust, Cancer Research, Age UK. The list goes on. The list goes on and on and on, which is amazing. Is that something that's very intentional that you've done to go, you know what, actually, one, I can add value, and I want to be that visible role model who is on boards. Was that your plan?
No. I must be absolutely honest. I wish I could say yes. I wish I could say I was that structured. To be clear, I'm not on all of those now because, we'll come back to my mantra in a little while. But all of them I was asked to be on. And they just kind of happened. And sometimes I look back and think, oh, gosh, how did that happen? But yeah, all of them I was approached for and very happy to part it, to say, yeah, okay, let's go for it. And with some of them I started as trustee. Twins Trust, I started as a volunteer. I was a volunteer for, nearly 20 years with about 8 years ago now, they came to me and said, would you consider coming onto the board, because they wanted to go through a name change and I have that skill set. So yeah, absolutely, I'd love to.
And is it ever too early to go and seek that board position or trustee position?
I'd say an ideal age to start thinking about it is about 18. And I do know 18-year-olds who are on boards, and that doesn't mean it has to be, you know, BP, Shell, Ford Motor Company. It can be a local charity that you're really passionate about, the primary school you went to, that you know firsthand the things that could be improved upon. There are so many charitable opportunities. And what I would say to everybody out there, that you can learn so much from going on a board. And start small if you are concerned about it. And if you're not, and you've got a lot of experience, then go in at the top. Go for the big boards. But yeah, I would urge everybody to consider it from a much earlier age, because traditionally what's happened is, what, you know, people like me, you get to your 50s and think, oh, actually, I'm going to do it. I want to give something back. But actually, what I would say to all younger women out there, it's not only about giving back. You get so much from it, and it can really help your career. So it's a strategic good move too.
I couldn't agree more. There's an amazing woman called Maya Ellis. And when I first met her right at the start of my Northern Power Women journey, she was one of the youngest trustees ever for Girl Guiding. And she was also on the board of her local theatre up in Lancaster. And she was the one who always made me believe that, you know, actually this is something, you know, we should be encouraging at an early age. Almost these things are, it's the things that you never learn in school, isn't it? But anyway, it's those things. But you now head up your own agency, which we talked about before, and very much heavily focused around training, coaching, and communication is key to you. Talk to us about that.
Yes, it is key. And actually, I was so lucky, because I went to a big networking event, it would have been 20 years ago, and the keynote speaker was Maren Myatt, who was then a broadcast journalist. She fronted Northwest Tonight, essentially. And we had a chat afterwards, and I said, oh, let's have a cup of coffee sometime. So a couple of months later, we had a cup of coffee, which lasted 4 hours. Oh, we can do this, we can do this, we can do this. So always have that cup of coffee, you know, then take every opportunity. And we realized that with my strategic comms background and her practical journalism background, she'd worked in radio, television, on local and national news. We had a huge amount to offer in terms of supporting organizations, big, small, medium, with their strategic communications, teaching them how to do television, how to do interviews, how to do presentations. And honestly, we've never looked back. We've never looked back. We definitely are yin and yang. She's just the most wonderful person in the world. Very calm, very patient. And I'm neither of those things.
And just give us, I know you talk about public speaking, and that's one of your things you very much talk about. What are those three top tips that you talk about that you would offer for anyone out there who thinks, oh, I can't do that, I leave that, I'll stay in the audience?
Why would you? Why would you miss the opportunity to have your voice heard? I can assure you that 99.9% of the population are terrified. So you're not alone. The person up there that looks like the swan gliding along is not. Maren will tell you, before she went on television to present to 8-9 million people, she was absolutely bricking it. She was throwing up in the loo every evening before she went on. But once you get into it and you get used to it, it's great fun. What it is really good fun, and it gives you the opportunity again, if you're in whatever stage of your career you're in, to be in the spotlight and to have your voice heard. And it's you're just out there having a chat with people. That's what I would say. Find some friendly faces. Take a couple of deep breaths. Breathing is so important. Find some friendly faces out there and chat to them as if it was your neighbor over the fence. You're standing there with a cup of tea or a glass of wine. Just have a chat. That's really all it is. And the most important thing I would say in any form of communications is authenticity. Don't try to be something you're not, because people see through you and then they won't listen to you. So be you.
It's that authentic, isn't it? It's be exactly you. Don't try and be somebody else, because actually they're all taken. Let's jump back into the sort of where we had probably a good 20-minute conversation before we press record today about sport. We talked about your twin girls, and about women's rugby. The importance of sport is so, so vital. It's always something I've been really passionate about, and the disconnectivity between sport, disengaging with sport in early age, and belief and confidence and all that kind of things. You've got a different experience, haven't you, with your girls, a different sides of the spectrum in sport.
Yeah, I do. So they, as I said, they're identical twin girls, and they both play rugby. they, however hard I've tried to get them doing different things, they've always swung back around and ended up doing the same things. So they both started playing touch rugby and played touch rugby for England. And then they both started to get into contact rugby. Well, one did, the other one followed a little bit later. And they really enjoyed it. So one of them, they've got American passports. So one of them decided she was going to go to America to coach, to play, to hopefully get up to the level of playing for USA international team. The other one stayed here. She played at Waterloo over in Liverpool, Waterloo Women's Rugby Club, and did very well there. And then Sale Sharks was given a place in the Premiership, in the Allianz Premiership, as it was then 3.5 years ago. And so she moved over there and moved over to Sale. And we played there for a couple of years. We had lockdown, all the rest of it. And then was very quickly picked up by USA international team. Meanwhile, the other one, who'd gone to America, in her third match, smashed her knee to pieces. I had to go over, bring her home for major surgery. She was off for a year. She decided to go back and play again. She was, I think it was about 3 months after she started again, she did the same thing again. So she was off for another year. And we had the most dreadful 3-hour operation. I mean, this whole thing was awful. I'm never playing rugby again. And then she got better. And then she decided, actually, I will play rugby again. And honestly, this is part of the joy of rugby. I said, look, you do whatever you want to do. We went to her first match back. She was supposed to play for 20 minutes, but she said, no, I'm staying on. She played for 60 minutes, came off, and I've never seen a grin like it. She was so happy. The buzz of it was incredible. And in that one snapshot moment, I thought, this is what sport is about. This is what sport can give to young girls, to young women, to older women. I played rugby as well, by the way, walking rugby. But So she got back. And then, unfortunately, last year, she had a very nasty concussion. So she was off for a long time. And she came back again. And then 10 days ago, she was playing again and she completely snapped her collarbone. So she's now off work for over a month. She can't drive for 6 weeks and so on and so forth. Meanwhile, the other one is captain of Sale Sharks Women. And if she's selected, which we're all hoping she will be, she'll be going off to, I think it's Australia for the next USA international tour.
Wow. Oh, wow. It's just different stories, isn't it? It's, you know, we talk about career journeys constantly. You know, we talk about the world of sport. But I think it's the smile that you talk that it brings to your daughter. So even though I know she's having that challenging time, this is where you've got to dig deep on the resilience and get some of the superpower out, isn't it? You know?
But also the other thing I would say that rugby brings, any sport, any team sport brings. So that the first week, she was in excruciating agony. She couldn't move. It was her right arm, her right collarbone, so she couldn't move her arm. So she couldn't do anything for herself. And there was not a moment, there wasn't one of those girls that she plays rugby with there by her side, making her meals, feeding her, showering her, helping her. And that's the other thing that team sport brings, is this incredible bond, this friendship that will, I know, with many of those girls, last forever.
So just talk to me finally about, you mentioned earlier, you talked about your mantra.
Yeah, yes, my mantra. Now, this is something it took me far too long to learn. And this is about, yeah, all the various things I did. My mantra is really about, we all heard it, put on your oxygen mask first before you see to other people. And I suddenly found myself doing too many things all at the same time. And I wasn't able to care for others, let alone myself. And I had this conversation with one of my daughters the other day. Stop saying yes to everything. Think before you say yes. Is it something that you want to do that talks to your heart? Is it something that will benefit you? If so, say yes. But don't just keep saying yes to everything, because looking after yourself first is the most important thing.
I literally think you're talking to me right now, Sarah. Who's put you up to this? I could talk to you forever. We've gone on a journey, haven't we, from working in the automotive industry to bringing up an amazing young family, to supporting them on their career ventures into the world of sport, to being a serial charity trustee board person across a number of different disciplines, setting your own business up, and just quite frankly, being kick-ass. Sarah, thank you. I keep playing rugby. You did. That didn't say that in the bio.
Oh, I will. I know, I forgot about that one.
Sarah, thank you so much. It's been an absolute delight to converse with you today. Thank you for all those top tips. It's I'm literally scribbling as we go along. But thank you so much. Thank you so much for joining us. Another amazing role model on the Northern Power Women podcast.
It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much indeed, Simone. I was just so thrilled. So thank you.
Oh, I thank all of you for listening. I'm sure you will be totally motivated and inspired by Sarah and her stories. And now I can't wait to chat to the twins too, because what a story and journey they've been on. Just phenomenal. So please stay connected with everything we do on our socials, on North Power Women on Twitter and Northern Power Women on all the others. And sign up to our digital platform, wearepower.net. It's the home of everything we do, from our podcast to our webinars to the awards to our virtual Power Up Speed networking and mentoring that we do. It's a world that we want to pass on, pay it forward. We want to be a version of Sarah every day, giving it back, passing on skills and knowledge. Thank you so much for joining us. My name's Simone. This is the Northern Power Women podcast, a What Goes On Media production.